Scripture reading, Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 16. Matthew 28, 1 through 16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate that reading. Appreciate this congregation and their giving and the great opportunities to be here. If you've seen as you came in the family tree, Wanda and others have worked very hard on that. We're trying to get that to where we'll have photos for everybody that make it easier for you to know the names. There is on the back table a handout of expenses for my Panama trip. And as we talk about that, I had a great video I wanted to show you, but the video file was too large to put in the process. So if you ask me, I'll send that to you. It's a video that one of my students made of the lessons while we were there. Karen and I got away to Copper Basin Bible Camp and had a great time. It's a beautiful place, a wonderful camp. We used to go when we were here earlier, younger. I teach until I started having knee surgeries. Many kids have gone up there to camp. It's a beautiful facility, and we enjoyed the fellowship. We saw Mike and Marty Lawson. They send their greetings to you. They are members who moved to Prescott some time ago. We are blessed and literally working together for God in this work. Just a quick mention, Grief Share has started. It's on Tuesday night. The only cost is a workbook that's $15. I think it's a worthwhile effort. Come and see if it's for you. We meet at 7 o'clock. Lord willing, after the first of the year, we'll have a different class going. My niece, when she was younger, used to say, "Well, you got checks left, so you still have money, right?" You know, well, she's grown up since then, but that's a concept Congress can't get a handle on. But it's a personal finance class called Financial Peace. We've held it before, and Lord willing, we'll hear more about that toward the first of the year. I want to thank you for giving me your love and your encouragement, your prayers for the recent mission trip that we took. And again, just to start off, is there anybody here who's perfect? Anybody sinless, without a fault? Because since we're all the same, we're sinners. We need Christ. We need a Savior. To use an illustration of what's happening around us, you ever fill up your car with gas? Isn't that a pain right now? You go to the gas pump? Like, man. Imagine your gas pump is your filling up righteousness into your gas tank. And we sometimes play the comparison game where we compare ourselves with somebody else. We say, "Well, you know, I don't beat my wife, and I don't, you know, I have a job, and I pay my bills." So we compare ourselves to somebody else and act like we're better than somebody else. And Paul says those who do that are without understanding. The only person we should compare ourselves with is Christ. And so the illustration of a gas tank, as we're putting gas in the tank, we might have half a tank, you might have three-quarter of a tank, somebody else has a quarter of a tank, and say, "Well, I've got more righteousness than this person over here." That's not the right way. None of us have a full tank. We cannot have enough righteousness of our own. Christ is the one who fills us, and he's the one who gives us righteousness. And he's the one also who pays the bill. Would you like to go to the gas pump and somebody pay the bill? Christ paid for our righteousness. He came and lived a perfect, sinless life, and he gave his life as a sacrifice, and then is willing to take his righteousness and give it to us, and take our righteousness, our unworthiness, and take it upon himself. With all that being said, and all that basis, now we're ready to sing a song. You won't need a book. It's very simple. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Thank you. I've gone on mission trips before, and people said, how was your vacation? Well, it wasn't a vacation. We're going to share the good news of Christ because someone shared it with us. My son Warren and I took a mission trip many years ago. And as we took that trip, we came back and we were showing pictures here. And he said, why do the pictures always look better than it was right there? Well, we're looking at one little square inch of a picture of a report. You know, you see the big picture, a snapshot. Well, the snapshot, we might look good some days, but Christ sees all the picture. And so as we look at some of these, I was invited to go teach in the Bible School of Americas. Jack Farber, who grew up close to here, would come by and encourage me to go teach there. And Jack has gotten, his age is catching up to him. And so they've invited me to come and teach, literally some of the classes he was teaching. I would go to teach preachers and their wives. People from all over Central and South America would come there to study the Word of God for 2 years and then go back to their respective countries. We found out after World War II, as we went into the war, soldiers came back and said, we need to send them the gospel so that they would have peace. And so they brought them here to America to study, and then they stayed. Well, it didn't work too well. So they decided what we need to do is teach them in their own language in their own country or close by. You are partners with me in this work. It's not just me doing this, and it's biblical. We'll talk about some of those verses in a few moments. You've helped me with your giving. You've helped me with your prayers. And we are working together with God in this work. So here are some pictures. We'll talk about them as we go through and what we see in the slides. Our first slide is a picture describing what I found in the airport. That's what Panama looks like. It doesn't have coffee beans all over it, but that's Panama. The shape, of course, everybody knows probably the Panama Canal. And it's very prosperous because of that. The French tried to dig one. It didn't work out. We finished one, and then we literally gave it back to them. That has elevated the prosperity of their country all across the board. They like Americans. American dollars are the mixed with their currency. You might get an American dollar back. You might get a Balboa back. And so we'll just go through some of these slides. Our next one is a picture as we go from the school to town. We've shown you some of the modern buildings and even some of the long time ago, some of the pictures of the canal. So I took a few pictures to get you to see what it's like in just the common everyday life. This is a lot of taxis, and we're going from the school to the center of town. Okay, the next slide again shows you the same neighborhood. You get a view of this, and also our next slide is the same. Traveling the same place, very green, rains almost every day, especially in the rainy season. A lot of beautiful green all over the place. Again, the next slide. So this is just traveling through the neighborhood to get down to town. Next one, please. You can tell that it is green, but you can also see the difference in prosperity maybe. Again, the next slide. This is part of the campus. What we have is a campus that now has a fence around it for security. They needed that. They finished that. They grow in dark vegetables. They have fruit on these trees. They have a series of apartments here. When I go, I stay in a guest apartment. This is, we'll have the next several views of that. This is standing close to where the classes are, looking down. This is one of the apartments, and these where I would stay, the guest apartment. And each of these apartments were donated the funds by different churches, as Jack used to raise money for them. Students come from all over to participate in this school. Some of them come, and this is a higher standard of living than they're used to, and they go back. One year I was talking to Jack, and I said, Jack, I would like to buy a hot water heater, a flash hot water heater for the shower. He said, "Did you see the rain barrels in the corner?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, the guys from," he told me the area of Panama they're from, he said, "they live and they wash in the ocean." And, you know, and of course we've made improvements. We do have hot water heaters in there now, flash hot water heaters. He said, "But they would just turn it off and use that water." And so they come sometimes from very, very poor areas. And this is a two-year school, and they're given an apartment to live in with furniture, and a kitchen, and a stove. And then they go back to, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. The next slide, again, is the same compound. This is a gazebo that was built, if I remember right, some of the money Dan and Connie were involved in, a place that the students like to meet, to talk and have coffee, a little party or something like that. And this is just to my right as I took the picture looking down the hill a moment ago. You can see in the distance there some of the other apartments on the other side of the compound. Going on to the next slide. Here is the, we landed on Saturday, no, we landed on Friday, but here is teaching Sunday Bible class. Panama is a country that COVID, they have a very strong approach to COVID. The government decided everyone will stay in, except men will get an hour and a half on one day, and women will get an hour and a half on another day, and anybody else caught outside will go to jail, unless you had the permission. And then, so, and they make a lot of decisions like that. They decided one day in the supermarkets that we're going to just do away with all plastic bags. That was it. And so now they've decided that now you will buy a bag or bring your own bag for your groceries. And that's a very common theme throughout that country, very strong rule. So here I'm giving a class. There's several masks still going on. It's good, though, to see people starting to get out. Normal hours in businesses from when I went even just last year. Here is Raphael translating for me in a class on Sunday morning where they used to go downtown to the Hermosa Church of Christ. They're meeting right now in what was the children's home, the Central Church of Christ. They were studying on elders, and they're hoping to appoint elders soon. So we had a class and a lot of discussion about that right there. Of course, you see the camera there. They really, as we learned through COVID, to use Zoom and do a lot of that, and still are doing a lot of that as well. Our next slide is also in church. Agnor, who was the director of the children's home there, is preaching that day in Spanish. Okay, the next slide, please. This is a view of the congregation. And you can see the people there that we had that Sunday in early August. Again, the next one, please. This is in Bible class. And what I did was go teach Romans 5 days a week from about 7:30 in the morning to about 3 to 3:30 in the afternoon. It would be like preaching, and I have to stop every 2 minutes and have my translator translate the word. So it cuts everything in half. And so we studied Romans. We'll have different discussions and questions some days because they're preachers and preachers' wives, and they're going back to different areas. We had a lot of discussion as we go through Romans about, for example, customs and different parallel customs that we learned about there. Our next slide, please. Here we are again in the classroom area. They are very studious. Raphael was a student of mine several years ago, and his translation skills were so good that they hired him from the school to be a translator. He went on and got a degree in psychology there in Panama. Very, very good as a translator, able to keep up, does a wonderful job. And it's very tiring to do that. It's not easy. Our next slide, please. This is a shot of some of the students in the class. I was pretty sure it's Dan and Connie or someone raised the money for new desks for all of them to use. They to give each student a series of Bible books and Bibles, study materials. And I guess they have a computer, a laptop that they're using. And so a lot of notes were taken. They would send the paper that they had to write to me by computer. Google Translator is wonderful. You know, you can just pop that up and see that. This looks like you took it out of a book. Anyway, so, you know, students are still the same. Our next slide, please. Again, this is, we had two families. We had the husbands and the wives, and a family on my right and a family in the back left had a child. They brought their child. We had a student by Dominican Republic by Zoom, but the technology wasn't working that day. It would keep everybody on happy or light. Here's the whole group of students and the families and all of them. The next slide, please. Here is a gift that one of my students gave me and made for me. Very giving people. One of the things that we would do is to take different family. I would go to their house and been to their house many times, and sometimes take them out to eat, and they would take the food to back to and feed others. For example, we'll meet several teachers, and there are about five or six single students. So two of the ladies cook all the meals for the single students every day, and so they come over to get the meals for them. Very bonded together, very helpful, very humble, very giving people. Our next one, please. This is a trip that they took to the Dominican Republic. Now, part of the thing about they're just not going to school, they are actively involved. Prior to COVID, they were actively involved in a congregation in Panama City. Now they're actively involved in going on mission trips. This one's to the Dominican Republic. And then they took various places. Our next slide, they took a mission trip. And again, part of what they're doing is to try to reach and teach people for Christ. And they baptize, teach. Next slide, they took a mission trip to Boca de Toro in Panama. It's where the good coffee comes from. They had to travel 4 hours by muddy road and 20 minutes by boat. If you look at our church Facebook page, you probably could have seen some of those videos and some of that road that they had to drive through. It's not like here at all. And yet here they are going as a group on one of the mission trips that they took on the weekend to go there. Our next slide would show us some of these teaching. Again, this is very common in many parts of the world. This is an assembly. They have, this is what they have, how they do what the best they can. And again, you see some of the differences in the culture by what people have. Again, it's not, this is a very common picture. Just very green, very lush. A lot of walking is done. A lot of backpacks to get there. Go ahead. I call them Walmart chairs. Here's a mission discussion from congregation in this town. They're planning and preparing another campaign to come up with more students. But this is a church assembly area there in that place. This is Simon. He's one of the teachers. His wife is Veronica. Dan and Gamaliel are his children. I've been at his home many times. And it's his mother-in-law, his mother that you gave to help for her needs. She's doing well. Our next slide is his wife and his two children. I took this while I was at their home for lunch. This is the lunch. If you can catch it, the yellow is fried banana. It's very good. We had some fish. No, the yellow is probably the chicken. Just to the right of that is the fried banana and rice and some potatoes. There's the fried banana on the right. This is Francisco. His wife is Vanessa. Gabriel and Andreas are his two sons. They're older, getting degrees in the university. And in that context, we are blessed to know them. He had several health issues several years ago. He's doing much better now. His flag, he's from Costa Rica. He loves that. This is the translator, Raphael. Here is Agnor, who you saw preaching. Again, he is was the children's home director. They've asked him in Panama to work with several children. He still follows up and visit the children's home. It's a sad story what happened. Again, I told you about the kind of the macho-ness of the government. The government said, now from now on, the children's home, you will hire these people from the government. You will not have the children like you had them before. We're taking all these away except these four, and you only have them for about 3 or 4 weeks, something like that. Well, the elders at Forest Park said, no, that's not what we're here about to do. Although they had praised their program, had given them children before, that's not what they were trying to do. They were trying to raise them up, teach them the Lord, and we've talked and you've helped give in a number of ways to this children's home. But again, IGNOR is following those up. Of these, there's four teachers that we've seen, counting my translator. I gave each of them $300. They're working very hard as teachers. The school is over 50 years old. I had 6 first-year students and 12 second-year students. They graduate in December. 2 are from Honduras. 3 are from Peru. 2 are from Mexico, 6 are from Panama, and 5 are from Nicaragua. Now, they go from all different places. Sometimes we've had them from South America, from Cuba, and other places, Venezuela. Our next slide is Kerry Gillis. Kerry Gillis, you may remember, maybe not, was a summer intern here one summer. He's now working with the Forest Park as one of the people who took Jack's place. Took 3 people to take Jack's place. In his work, they have a guy from Freed who's raising funds, and Jack did a wonderful job, but age caught up to him. And I want to thank you for your prayers and giving to make this possible. I've been invited to teach Hebrews next year, but as I said before, we are working together with God in this effort. In the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 13, David's going to war and he divides his army up into several groups. And he says, this group will stay here with the supplies and we'll go fight the battle. After the battle, they came back and David said, now the group that stayed with the supplies gets the equal amount of victor spoils than the group that went to battle. Because their job was just a different job, but their job was just as important as the men who went into battle. And so in 1 Samuel 25, he says that. 1 Samuel 30, the man who stayed with supplies would be the same as that of him who went down to the battle. All will share alike. David made this a statute and an ordinance in Israel from that day forward. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12 to 14, talking about giving to his mission work. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but also overflowing to many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you provided yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Paul is saying that their giving to him is a partner with him of supplying the needs of God's people. That's what you have done. That's what we have tried to do in this mission effort. People working hard in the kingdom of God to train preachers and others with different needs that will go after 2 years into many different places teaching the word of God. A very familiar text, Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply all of your needs. But we want to look at the context for just a moment. He describes in very clear terms that these people gave to Paul for his mission effort. And so the verse before that, sometimes you want to work backward, Philippians 4, verse 18 and 19. It is in the context that they have given to Paul and helped him on his mission work. Now Paul is saying that God will help and supply all of your needs. You have given and helped in this effort, and so this verse applies. But let's see what Paul says. I've received full payment even more. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. You see, it's giving and receiving. Even in what we're doing, we're giving the word of God, they're receiving. They're going to go out and teach the word of God to others so that people can become Christians or come back to Christ. We started with Matthew 28, 16 to 20. We call it the Great Commission. Jesus speaks to the 12 apostles. And if you notice in that reading, some of them doubted. And so he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore, and we know the rest of the verse very well. Go and teach everyone, as Mark says, teach all nations. Here he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. Did you catch that? Teach them to obey everything I commanded you. So that means this command that Jesus gave to the 12 is to be taught to everyone else. He's commanding us to go. It's actually a series of participles. It's a command, not a suggestion, which literally would read in the Greek, why you are going. Why are you going to the hairdresser? Why are you going to the grocery store? Why are you going to the dry cleaners? Share the good news. I don't know the people you know. You don't know the people that I know. But you have conversations, do you not, when you go to the bank? When you go to the grocery store, the people you see over and over again, and they get to know you, and they get to know me. We have discussions about my mission work. He's Catholic, but we have discussions. And others. And so here's a chance to think about, okay, we think about mission work, about going overseas. It's where we're at, whatever we're doing. We're talking to the church that was paid for with the blood of Christ. We saw in class, in our adult class a few weeks ago, as Paul shared the good news in Acts, not everybody listened. Not everybody liked it. But he did his job. He shared the good news. There were those that had responded. Paul writes later in Titus 3:3-7, about this truth. Why go? At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and in envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of the rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, on whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. What is he saying? We once were without God. We once were lost. But someone taught us. We responded to the Word of God. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 4. For we talked about the book of Romans. And I shared with them the truth that if you get Romans, God will get you. And so we see in chapter 1, the sins of the Gentiles. Chapter 2, the sins of the Jews. Chapter 3, the conclusion. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What Paul is doing is describing the need. They need a Savior. Everyone needs a Savior. If he had stopped the book right there, it would be a sad story. But now he begins to talk in chapter 4 about what God has done. Quoting David in Psalm 32, in Romans chapter 4, is the essence of what he's describing of the relationship with God. That God can give us a relationship where our sins are forgiven, not based on our merit, not based on our work, not based on who we are, but based on what who and he is, and a free gift to whoever is willing to come. And the relationship is described as God making us righteous and taking our sins and putting them on Christ. And that means we stand with God in verse 7. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Although we're sinners as we started, we have a relationship with Christ where our sins are constantly washed away. And we stand before him righteous and holy. Not that we're holy, but Christ makes us holy. And in that context, we can be in God's presence. And we may not understand all the implications and all the parameters of the relationship we have with God, but this is what happens at baptism, Romans 6. Don't you know that many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And many of us have done that. We surrendered to Christ and brought into union with Christ in baptism, and we came up out of the water forgiven, cleansed. Someone has taught us, encouraged us, helped us to do that. We're going in this to teach the word to preachers and their wives so that they can go to other countries and preach and teach to others. This is a great opportunity, I think. They're very serious about their work. And Romans 6 describes when we are buried with Christ, we die to sin. Dead men have no rights. We talk about, well, it's my right. No. If we are buried with Christ, we have no rights. We have been purchased with his blood. So we sang already, Jesus is coming back to judge the world. And when he does, every human being will be there. Evangelism, someone who said, is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Just like in the Old Testament, these four lepers were starving, and they went outside the city saying, if we stay here, we'll die. If we go out there, we might die, but we might live. And they went outside, and the army had gone because God had caused a noise, and they scared them, and they left the country. And so they're starving, and they find food. And the immediate natural reaction, they start to eat. And they saw clothing and gold and silver. And so they grab clothing, and they grab gold, and they grab silver. And they're eating as much as they can. And then they went, wait a minute. There are all those starving people in the city. If we don't go tell them, we'll be doing wrong. We need to go share this good news with them. And the best thing is to first come to Christ and find and experience the love of God, the forgiveness that Christ gives. If you don't have that, talk to one of us. We'll study with you. We'll talk to you. And knowing how good God is and how often and willing he is to wash our sins away and give us peace and hope and help us with whatever we're going through. How many times have we had a medical problem, a medical situation, a personal situation, and we prayed to God, or we ask others to pray for us and with us, and he helped us, and he helped answer their prayers. We're going to share the God that anybody can come to. The good news that God knows we're sinners, but loves us. Heaven will repent. If one sinner repents, heaven will rejoice. Luke 15. I said a moment ago that if we are buried with Christ in baptism, we are no longer our own. We are dead to sin. Dead men have no rights. So that means I am mine no more. I have been bought with the blood of Christ. And what does he want us to do? Share the good news like somebody shared it with us. Somebody says, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to teach. We've got people that have already lined up lessons and to have lessons. All you got to do is go through the material with them. Just start. Do as Saul did. Just tell your story of how you became a Christian. Or maybe like I shared a few weeks ago, you're talking to a friend, you say, you know, I don't know what to say. And I was talking to a friend. I came and talked to a preacher at Harding, got some scriptures, went back and talked to him again. Be glad to help you in that way. People have to be taught, or should be taught, before they're baptized. No one is born a Christian. They have to surrender themselves to Christ. Let's remind ourselves in the song we're about to sing that I am mine no more. I've been bought with blood. And if you want to come and participate in that blood and become a Christian or come back to the Lord, why don't you